Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome back to my podcast. This episode is a very special episode. I'm going to be talking about a genesis of permanent teeth, or we can call them hypodontia, and can be single or multiple. And we're going to discuss how the proportion of it, the prevalence of it, and how many people can get it, and what are the remedies, and what are the challenges and the complications of treatment that I had to fix over my 24 years of practice. So before talking much about that, let's move into what is the terms and what are the history behind it. So if we look at the agenesis, we can see that it is congenital absence of permanent teeth. They can, as I said, be hypodontia when it is missing one or two teeth, and or oligodontia, that is the congenital absence of six or more teeth. So how frequent it is and how rare it is and where does it appear more and what are the consequences of it? So if we look at it, it is the absence of one permanent tooth without any other syndromes with it, like genetic syndromes or defective birth of a child or a human being. We can see that it can affect the mastication, the speech, and most importantly, the aesthetic, which by consequence affect the self-respect, self-behavior, self-confidence. That is extremely important. And you will see it a lot when you have to have a teenager and you are dealing with them, and that's what usually they start seeking replacement. And there is a problem, you know, especially young females that they come to you with these removable retainers that the orthodontists have put for them, and now they want to have a permanent solution. So the other also problem is the biggest one of them is, or the most prevalent of the missing teeth, is the lateral incisor. Yet you can see other ones, like by Calaf 2014, found that the most common one is the premolar mandibular or the bottom, and it can be also followed by the lateral and then the premolars on the maxilla. My experience is the majority that I have seen is the lateral incisors, to be honest with you. That's what I've seen the most. I've seen also premolars. I have seen both top and bottom premolars. I have seen multiple, which we will show you. And now, how prevalent it is into the population? Well, we can see that in the population, this is not more than in the primary teeth, it does not exceed the 0.7%. But in the general population or the adult population, we can see that it can be a little bit more than, 6%. And when you have a around 6 or 7.5%, or a range between 3 and 7.5%, it can be significant. We don't see it often, but we do see it, especially if you've been in practice like myself in 24 years, you have encountered them. Now, they are very challenging. I'm not going to say that they are not, but we'll talk about the challenges that comes with it. Also, it can be associated with genetic syndromes, as I said before, either a deformity, like the Down syndrome, the palatal cleft, or it can be also dermal, like an ectodermal dysplasia. Ectodermal dysplasia is patients that have a problem with their nails, with their skin that it's dry, their hair. And that is also not very common, but yet we see it. And again, in my 24 years, I have had 3 patients with ectodermal dysplasia, and I will show you one of them. So moving along, what is the treatment, or where can we find them, or how can we also look into their prevalence and its effect. So if you can see that also Khalaf that we talked about in before, he went back and said that there is a three hypodensia. One is mild, moderate, and severe. And he found them in an order of 8.16%, 14.3%, and 3.1%. I would say that I've never seen a mild and severe. So the term really, that's why I was debating if I should put it or not. But nevertheless, it is in the literature. And I would rather we focus on the prevalence of it, as I showed it before with Lascaris in 2000, which is around or a range between 3 and 7.5%. So the treatment options. And here in the three treatment that I'm going to show you, I missed one and I will talk about it also. Are actually four, but and I'm going to start with them. We can have a fixed bridge. Basically, you cut down on the adjacent teeth and make a bridge. Today, we don't, that's why I didn't put them, because today we don't really want to do that. And obviously, the Maryland bridge, which is a bridge with two wings on the back, and you can basically bond them on the back of the teeth. That also a challenge with itself. It's first of all the debonding, thirdly the interocclusal spaces, meaning between the top and bottom. And as I remember the listener, I'm trying to talk to both dentist and patients alike, so don't mind me if I go into the little details. I'm not being disrespectful to anybody. But you can see the distance between the top arch and the bottom arch is limiting sometimes with the teeth. We call them an overbite. And that can be limiting for the Maryland bridge. That's why they look for prepping the teeth. Today, prepping the teeth, it's really a something that we shouldn't be doing, because you can't take two virgin teeth, beautiful natural teeth, and cut them down to make a bridge. Despite the minimum cutting and all of the stuff that they will tell you about, but still you are cutting a natural tooth, you are removing the enamel, and the enamel is irreplaceable, it never comes back. So that's why the alternatives are the ones that you should be looking for, which is the dental implant. Now the dental implant, it can be immediately placed with or without bone grafting. Most of the time you need some bone grafting. It's impossible to place an implant without bone grafting. Or you need to build a ridge first and then follow it by a placement of a dental implant. And in those cases, there's never enough bone, because you are looking at a young patient and you want to give them the long-term success by having as much bone as possible in front of those teeth. So that's why you will be doing a dental implant even after the prior grafting, to add more bone in front of it. And that is always a possibility. I urge the clinicians not to be afraid, but to discuss it with the patients ahead of time, not to wait till the last minute. Third option, which I am totally against, it is moving the canine into the site of the laterals. This is an old way that they did it, when there's no implants. And now the sad part is people are talking about it. The problem is the canine is extremely eminent with its root. You move it into the site of the lateral. And I want the orthodontist to hear me. And anybody who wants to do orthodontics, movement of teeth, be very careful. You are misdiagnosing, and I've said it before, the phenotype. A prominent teeth, it will create a for you a problem, because you're going to move them into a site where there's not enough bone, and the soft tissue is going to recede, the bone is going to go, and it's going to be a nightmare. So let's move along and look at this case. This is a young patient, 35, presented to me, and you can see It's a lot of anxieties, but also look, missing teeth, the canine kept popping up. And that's what I said, the interocclusal space, that's a big challenge. So you cannot put a bridge on her, as you can see, it's very difficult. And even that composite that they did temporarily kept popping up. You have a recession here, you have lack of keratinized tissue. Look at the prominence of the root, that's what I was talking about. So moving along, you can look at the x-rays and you can see here it's missing the premolar on the bottom, on both sides, and she's missing the lateral. Again, like we said before, when you look at her scan, you can see the lack of bone. So again, you need to build the bone first and then place the implant and sometimes add more bone. So moving along to a young patient that recently presented, and because of him, I'm doing this episode. You can see the damage that has been created by the movement of the teeth orthodontics, and you can see the recessions that they have happened on the canines and the centrals, and also on the bottom. You can see here you have also a recession, lack of keratinized tissue on the bottom. So this young fellow, really, he needs a full rehab, meaning rehab of soft tissue, but also he needs to have one lateral implant to place here. And it's a challenging because look at this, it says a recession. So we have to bring this down, bring this down, bring this down, and bring this down, and then also have the bone for the implant. And if you can see that the implant, the site of the implant, you will see later on with the scan, is also lacking. So if we look here and we can see that this is also another recession that he has on the bottom. So, and you have recessions here on the back, also with some abrasion of the teeth, you know, the wearing off of the neck of the teeth. And these are very important things. I feel, you know, very bad for this patient. He's a young fellow and financially it's too much for him. But nevertheless, those cases, you can't play games. Here, what's the challenge with this gentleman? You have a very high smile, extremely high smile. And anything you go, you know, and you look at him, he's 25, you know, he's a young fellow. So he has his life ahead of him. So you can't compromise. You have to put all the bone that you can. You have to put soft tissue from the palate because that is the real golden standard in soft tissue management. He's not in his 40s or 50s or 60s that you can take an allograft. And even an allograft, which is the replacement, you can buy them from Bang, the collagen dermises, they don't work well. Not in those cases, especially in that central here where you have lack of bone on the side. So he has a very difficult case, and this case is extremely difficult. Now we can go to the scan. As you can see, there is also a concavity here, very classic with them. Although we can place an implant, that's a 3.3, placed correctly. But look at the negative bone that we have here. So we might be able to put an implant and graft on both sides, or build the bone first and come back and place the implant. So in depending also, you know, today we have sizes that they are more amenable. You know, we have the 3.3, but you can't go below that on the maxilla. You cannot go to the 2.9. You cannot go to 2.0. This is heresies. So we have to use the 3.3 as a minimum because they're going to fracture. And I've seen it over and over. And that's why I'm telling you, do not play cut corners with those cases. And look at this other young lady that actually been referred to me by another periodontist. And here she has a low smile. Well, she had went through orthodontic. Her challenge is, you can see the phenotype that is very thin. She doesn't have recession, but she has extremely deep defect on the buccal. And when you look at it, to add also more difficulties is that the roots have not, when they move them away from each other on the crown level to create a space here. But what they did is they move the apex or the tip of the root into the other side. That's a tipping movement. That's not a bodily movement. That's a very difficult and very common thing that happens. So the placement of the implant becomes extremely challenging because you can't afford any mistake. You know, if you're placing a 3.3, you have only one bid to prepare the bone, one burr. It's a 2.8. And we take a scan and we put the tooth in place to see where it is. And then you can see that the defect is extremely high. And you can see also how that central is leaking into the site. So you place your implant as good as you can, and then you have to do it guided. In those cases, you can't take a chances. And here you can see the another case. As you can see, I have done quite a bit of those cases, and this is another patient that is the opposite here. When she smiles, she has a very high smile, and she is missing the two laterals, like the first one, Caroline. This one here, she has Jacqueline has two missing high smile, and this is a different views for her. You can see even at repose when she is relaxed, you can see. It shows she has enough spacing between the top and bottom, but she doesn't have a good spacing on both sides. The roots are very well aligned, but the problem is the lack of bone and the high smile, and to match the right to the left. And you can see here the deficiencies that she has already. You can see them on the clinical picture. And now when we go to the scan, you can see this is also another extreme case of bone deficiency. And that will require building the bone by bigger mean. And you can see it here on the right side. You can see this dip on the palatal. And when you are placing the implant, basically you're placing the implant here. So you need to build that bone as much as the outside bone. This is another case that came. I did it long, long time ago. Unfortunately, I was not able to bring this young lady back. She was a beautiful, I'm sure she is still as beautiful as when I met her when she was in her 16th. And then you can see the challenge here with her orthodontic. There is no space anymore in between the top and bottom. So here, when you are placing those implants, Maryland is out of the question, prepping the teeth even out of the question. So if you want to do an implant placement here, you have to create bone. Create bone by building the bone, but also remove the bone from here to create a length for that lateral that is amenable. Now, how much you can remove? Don't forget, you have also the length of the centrals. The canine cannot be longer than the centrals. And these are very important to understand that, it takes a lot to prepare a case like that. It's not only just by drilling and putting an implant, putting some bone graft, but because you will see in the complications that I dealt with, it brings you to another level of difficulties. And that's what I mentioned, the interocclusal for the patients that you are listening. This is the space, because in order for you to put the crown, you need to have a space, enough space in between the top arch and the bottom arch. Moving to another case, that's the opposite. We have the height, but we don't have the width. Orthodontically, it was done like that. It's very difficult to fix that case at this point. And, that's just a mimic of the tooth. Then, unless he prepped the canine, this one here, and to create a bigger space. So I have showed you in a brief quite a bit of these cases in order for us to understand the challenges with it. Now let's move at the complications. And before I go to the complications, let me add, this is a multiple series of multiple teeth missing. This is what it is, a Maryland bridge. That's how you bond them on the back. Here she had a gap on the center. And when we look at the radiograph, you can see the baby teeth or deciduous teeth, as we call them, and they're still there. And you can see multiple sites of missing teeth that this young lady, I did also treat her brother who was missing one premolar. And she had also two other siblings that they are missing multiple teeth. So it can run into the family. Now brings me to the last part, which is the correction of the complications. And to correct the complications, you can see this gentleman. This is, has a scleroderma, ectodermal dysplasia. And you can see here, you can tell immediately by the shape of the teeth, the canine, they are pointy. He had already implant placed, and you can see the damage that was created. Those this implant here, another implant here I had to remove, and he had a failed graft in here. So again, placing those implants are not easy, not easy at all. So this is the site. Actually, Friday I saw him. I exposed the implant that I placed, and I built the bone here. He's healing great on the bottoms, and eventually I'm gonna clean those implants, create some soft tissue, and this has lost bone. But I don't, you know, I'm trying to give him a break. This young man is really traumatized at this point. But this is what I want you to see. Look at the pointy canines. Very evident of that dysplasia that you have. Look at this canine here. So look at this. This is two implants were placed in the laterals and wrongly placed because, as I said, the distance between top and bottom is very important. And here to fix them is, well, hopefully I'll show you in another such episode as a follow-up to this treatment of a case from A to Z with perfectly placed and fixing of some of those failures. And you can see the implants were not placed deep enough, was wide, and but I was able to fix them without surgery here, a major surgery, I mean. Or this case where you have a disaster on your hand, and she had at young age the placement of that implant in the lateral here, very deep, and then that affected the canine on the side. And she ended up losing both. And by losing both, she ended up with a huge defect here that we were able to successfully fix it. And you can see also and appreciate the aesthetic defect. She's a 37-year-old female, very active socially, and very successful. So, I mean, those cases, as I mentioned to you, it's they take a lot of work, a lot of work, a lot of commitment, a lot of studying, a lot of preparation. We don't come in and just do the cases. And I will show you that case when it's finished. It's already finished. I will show it to you also with other episodes, but probably not in the agenesis, but probably in the in the buildup of the sites. So with that, I want to show you a last one where also another implants were placed in the laterals and led to this recession, and also the discrepancy in height between this one and this one. And this is the scan that shows the implant were placed a little bit buckle. But sometimes removing implants is more traumatic than trying to fix it. In this case, we were very successful in fixing it. I never get the chance to see the final result of a prosthetic, but nevertheless, I know from my side, I was able to create for her a root coverage on that central and give her enough bone buildup of soft tissue on the front of that implant that will can last her for a long, long time. And don't forget, as I said before, these are a young, young patients. They have their life ahead of them. So with that, I will want to thank you for your attention. As you remember, I always like to keep it short and sweet, and I hope that this was a instructive and you enjoyed it because it is a very important subject. It's a very rare subject. And always remember, those patients will grow and will continue the growth, and the crown of those implants will might become short versus the natural teeth. You have to always mention that to them. And do not lead them that this is the permanent prosthetic solution. They might have to change their crowns over the years. So again, I want to thank you for listening. And this is me, Dr. Elchar, and I really appreciate you taking the time to listen to me. And I hope that you will continue to listen to me. Goodbye.